jump, 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 jump. I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle out.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Yeah, that's a wrap. It means it's a chance for us to have a couple of friends in studio to talk with us about things that happened this week. In this case, we're a split screen. We got in studio Collier Merrill, the owner of, Merrill Land Company and Great Southern Restaurants, an excellent restaurateur and developer. Collier, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, The Wrap.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning.
Always good to have you. And on the phone, because he had run into some job-related scheduling challenges because of all of the power outages and the weather and the inconveniences in everything this morning with the weather, Jeremy Evans, our good friend. Hey, Jeremy, you there?
Hey, yes, I am, Andrew. I'm sorry I cannot be with you and call you in person.
Oh, no, it's fantastic, and you sound perfectly crystal clear. Good. Just a quick note before we get into the issues. The weather system gave us a false all clear today. Around 8 o'clock, it was 7 o'clock, I thought, oh, it's all passed. We're all good. And then all of a sudden, this trailing tail, literally a tail that stretches out from the main part of the storm over well east of Tallahassee, like somebody laid down a fire mission all along I-10 right now is what it looks like. And it keeps forming to the west of us. So if you thought, well, I'm safe, I'm south of I-10, it's every time it reforms, it lowers. So it's kind of like trying to sweep down across the whole panhandle area. Just beware, the weather this morning is going to be bad. High winds, rain, everything. If you just look out your door and look, you'll see what I'm talking about. Issues for the week. Okay, this might not have been like the... Well, we'll start with this one. The Ramey Edler settlement, $5 million from the county commission. Molly Barrows of the PNJ does a good article laying out the $9 or $10 million that the commission has paid out in legal settlements over the last few years. They got another one coming. They paid her $950,000 for a retaliation settlement. They're paying $5 million this time for all of the Medicare-related fraud with the federal government. It just seems like the county commission keeps picking legal battles and keeps losing, and it keeps costing us money. Thoughts, Collier?
You know, Andrew, I'm out of town part of that. I caught a little bit of that. I know they had a closed session and came out and said that's what they're doing. So I have to, you know, I think they've got a good legal staff department down there, and I just have to believe that was their best move at that time.
Yeah, and in this case, clearly this is the right choice at this point. I mean, they've avoided what might have been 50, 100, perhaps more $1 million worth of, you know. So I think taking the five is right. I think that several years ago they ignored Ramey Edler and didn't like her much, and they decided not to follow her advice, and they ignored it. And then part of that produced this end result. Jeremy, what do you think?
I think sometimes the county commission sometimes can let personality rule over logic. And sometimes over the past 5 to 6 years with some of the personalities we've had on the county commission, it's been more about getting at this person or getting at that person than as opposed to actually moving forward with ideas and what's best for the county. I think that some of the personality issues have improved over the past several, you know, 6 to 12 months. And I hope to see that improvement, and they're continuing to kind of pay off problems that were created several years ago. And my only hope is that we're not continuing to create new problems as we're answering for the old problems.
It seems like there's a sort of recent wave of the politics of personal pettiness in Escambia and in Santa Rosa. I mean, the last several meetings in Santa Rosa have been who can tell which journalist to stop filming the meeting, who can tell who to stop fussing. They literally had to rearrange their chairs on the dais because two commissioners keep bickering with each other so much. I mean, it does seem like can we not just grow up a little bit moment, Collier?
you pitched that one to me. Thank you, Andrew.
I mean,
get him, Jeremy.
I mean, where are all the statesmen? You know, where's the, you know, am I wrong? Like they're trying to be Milton. Like everybody wants to be Milton in the wrong way.
They just sit back and let Milton do their thing.
Yeah, let Milton be Milton.
Let them run with it.
Don't try to impress. Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I think we're seeing from the top of the ticket to the bottom of the ticket.
Oh, fair point.
And hopefully, you know, this modeled behavior will change sooner than later. you know, I hope that I have a 9-year-old daughter. You have kids. I think we would all rather them have grown up with the great communicator Ronald Reagan or somebody else like than what we're seeing today. And hopefully we can return to some civility amongst our public discourse sooner than later.
So naive. So, what's the old expression? You get the government you deserve. Oh, isn't that an indictment of us? 8:45 here on News Radio Pensacola. We'll come back to this conversation in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
There are a few traffic lights out, and I'm just going to run through the intersections real quick. Lillian Highway and 57th, that light is out in West Pensacola and in North Pensacola, and 9 Mile Road and Fowler Road and the intersection of 9 Mile Road and Copter Road. All those lights are still out as of now. Please treat those with caution and as four-way stops. On South Highway 97, trees on both the north side and south side of Kingsfield Road intersection building up a lot of traffic, so expect delays. Drive with caution through those areas. And drive with caution today in general because we are experiencing a lot of heavy weather. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Caller, I read an article the other day that I thought was really interesting. It talked about how service industry professionals are moving toward penalties, fees for people who no-show. And this is kind of, maybe it's not always been this way, but I think of it having been this way for a long time for dentists and doctors, you know. But now we're moving into, you know, like barbers, and it got me thinking about you with restaurants that, you know, people say they're going to show up, and if they don't, you're just out the table if you held it for them, or you're out the chair if you held it for them as if you're a barber or something like that. This makes sense to me because it feels like in a marketplace you're trying to prepare your business for the traffic flow. It's fair. I mean, if people don't show up, you're out the money. It's almost like they ought to have to prepay or something like that. What are you seeing in the restaurant business?
Well, it's interesting. We're doing it. We started doing it a few months ago. We were actually at a manager meeting, and I relayed this story about a year and a half ago. I was going on a trip with a few folks, and one of the guy's wives kept calling me, "Hey, we're going to go to dinner this one night. This is we're in Colorado, and you want to go, you know," and kept asking me and called me like 2 days before, "You sure you want to go?" "Yeah." I was like, "Man, she really wants me to go." And then her husband, "Oh, no, no, she's worried about this $25 cancellation fee. Either you're going or you're not." So we started that. We haven't charged anybody, Andrew, but if it's a party of six or more through Open Table, it'll automatically take a credit card. If it's charged, we reimburse it. And we haven't, but it's very interesting. A lot of the no-shows suddenly, you know, we're getting a notification, and you need to call 4 hours before,
yeah,
and tell us no. But we had a, you know, Jack, I'll give Jackson an example. You know, Mother's Day's coming up.
Yeah.
And I get why people are doing this, but they'll book us solid. But if it's a beautiful day, a ton of no-shows. You know why? They're going to the beach.
Okay.
So they book a couple weeks out, not knowing the weather's going to be. We'll book Jackson's, but if the weather's going to be good, we're going to go take Mom to the beach.
Yeah.
And so, you kind of try to judge that a little bit, overbook a little bit, and it's a tight thing when you're taking hard reservations now.
But now that you're doing it, people haven't been no-showing you.
It has worked like a charm.
That's great.
The few that get hit, if they call us, they say, they give an excuse, you know, kid was sick, whatever.
Right.
We say, that's fine, we'll give it back. But the overall mission of that, it worked. So I get it. I can especially see some, you know, barber, people like that.
Yeah.
One-man shop, that'd kill you. Yeah, so I get it.
Jeremy, your thoughts? You work in an industry as a pharmacist that's kind of sort of adjacent to this category, probably not exactly the same, but what are your thoughts? Did we lose Jeremy? I think we did lose Jeremy.
I think he's going to get
there he is. There he is. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Jeremy. Go ahead.
We're about to charge you, Jeremy.
You didn't get any of my background noise here. We do see it all the time in the medical side of things, you know, and on the flip side of having the Open Table, I can't tell you how many times my wife and I, you know, on the, you know, you get somebody who's willing to take your daughter, and it's, hey, let's try to go to Jackson's or the Fish House or somewhere in Five Sisters, and you try to call and get, and everything's full.
Yeah.
But there may be tables that were open that, you know, not only is a restaurant losing the business, but people who maybe wanted to have that experience are also losing out on that experience. And so I do think that if it's something that it is a win for everybody, except for the person who didn't have the common courtesy to keep their reservation.
And I don't mind them being penalized. I mean, that's, you know, exactly. at least then the professional or the service provider or whatever is able to, you know, get some kind of compensation for the fact that you know, they're trying to do you a solid by making your schedule plannable, and then, you know, you don't show up for them. I'll tell you, for me, I chafe at it when I get the notice from my doctor or my dentist or whatever, but I show up. You know, I'll tell you the one flip side part about this for me is I don't mind any of it, but I would prefer if you'd see me at the time you scheduled. If you're going to penalize me for not showing, if we're going to create regularity in the scheduling process, at least do me the courtesy of, you know, cutting my hair on time, putting me at the table on time, or, you know, cleaning my teeth or, you know, whatever. Actually, my dentist is fantastic. That's not an issue. But, you know, the doctor, you know, make sure that I'm not waiting for 20 minutes or a half hour in the waiting room. Fair?
Fair. And coming from one of the thriftiest people I know, I'm trying to avoid calling you cheap today, Andrew.
It's all right. I'll take it either way.
For you to,
my friends call me thrifty. My opponents call me cheap, and I'll take it. It's true.
Coming from you, I mean, that you see the need for that.
Yeah.
But I agree with you on the counter side of that. If you show up and you're waiting 3 hours, that's a whole different matter. Which
Absolutely.
Would not happen. And you missed two restaurants there, Jeremy. I appreciate it. Angelina's and Atlas, but thank you.
All fantastic restaurants. Different subject. Again, a story that I thought was just fascinating this week is Gen Z. So this is young people, let's say under 25, 27. I think Jimmy is like right at the threshold. He's the last of the not Gen Zers, so 27 and under. They're using AI. I know my own kids. I've seen them do stuff. You know, they're like first pass. Hey, write a cover letter for a job. Okay, they go to ChatGPT and they say, write me a cover letter for a job. And then they tweak it and tailor it because I have taught them how to write, and it grinds me that they do that. But everybody their age does this. Okay, and then the problem is that the guy who's interviewing for the job gets 100 cover letters that are all just about identical. This can't be healthy for our population to think of writing cover letters or what? Love letters? You know, what thing are they not going to do? They even write that, you know, hey, make me a sexy text for my girlfriend. Like, what is ChatGPT not going to be the substitute for next? Have you seen any of this kind of stuff, Collier?
It's crazy. I was at a symposium about a month ago, and I think it's Toro or something, Soro. Where you can do a video.
Okay.
And I did some. You know, I went like, you know, boy playing with a dog.
Okay.
Redheaded boy. I was trying to imitate Collier, my 14-year-old. It's scary what they come up with. And you know, my son was doing it for my mom, 90 years old. She's going to kill me on that one. But anyway, she's out and about driving bridge and all that, and she's been hearing about it. So she asked, you know, what is all this about? He goes, well, we'll do a story. Mimi, you and I are going to New York, you know, and it writes his story. Her question, that was brilliant. She's like, they just did that. I mean, just bam, their whole story, what they did. And she goes, who owns that? I'm like, great question. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's scary.
And now you got this lawsuit by media companies against some of the big chatbots. I think ChatGPT is one of them, or Google. I forget who's the target of it, but they're basically saying, you've used our copyrighted material to train your, you know, learning model. Where's our cut? You know, where's our slice, Jeremy?
So two things. One, as an employer, it makes it really easy to see, okay, this person is not going to put in any attempt at doing any work other than asking ChatGPT to do this. I don't want this person working for me. On the flip side of it, it's a tool. ChatGPT is a tool. If you take it and you get it as a generic first run, and then you do like your kids do, and you have completely reworked something to give you a first draft, I've seen it used both ways and used effectively both ways. But when you can tell this is a generic ChatGPT, as somebody who hires people from, you know, Panama City to Mobile, it becomes very, very easy to see who's willing to put in the work and who is not willing to put in the work.
So as a hiring manager, you actually appreciate it because it lets them self-select out the ones you don't really want to hire to begin with because it's so easy to tell.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
That's funny.
I like that. Yep. That's probably not their intended result, but it's almost like a weird truth-telling exercise that they were inadvertently truth-telling to you.
Yes.
it's crazy, and I know you homeschool, Andrew,
but
Carrie finally kind of admit it. He's leaving eighth grade. He's like, oh, there's all kinds of, for your homework, especially math.
Yeah.
You know, throw this in jet. You know, I was talking to the math teachers, like, yeah, we're trying to figure that out.
I mean,
just everybody's coming in. He's trying to throw some, you know, curves in there to see if he can figure it out. But, I mean, that's just what they do.
You know, it's funny. I know I'm not necessarily the norm on this, okay? I like math. Most people hate math, okay? I can see why people might use services that would help them perform math, obviously calculators or anything else. I like writing. I'm good at writing. I enjoy it. It's actually fun. I like the activity. You know, give me a task to write. I like doing that. Most people don't. Most people aren't good at it. Most people hate doing it. And I just feel like we're on the verge of really, really letting down an entire generation in terms of not requiring them to be able to do the things that kind of are the making them human stuff, is what it feels like to me. Even though I know I'm the crotchety old liberal arts master's degree, you know, like sure, easy enough for you to say, Andrew, you like that stuff. Yeah, I know, I'm weird.
Just so you know, they said the same thing about us not learning cursive in the second grade. We were going to become uncultured and dumb. So,
well,
just, you know.
Truth hurts, doesn't it? 8:57 on News Radio Pensacola. Last question. Apparently, folks in the Gulf Breeze Dog Park just can't get along. Somebody said this is the most Gulf Breeze story ever, that it's not the pets who are fighting with each other, but the adults who are squabbling with each other and making public records requests of the city and alleging discrimination and harassment and ADA compliance issues. Why can't we just have nice things, Collier? Why can't we just have nice things? They closed the dog park for 2 weeks over this because they're worried about legal liability.
I just got back in town. A guy at my office from Gulf Breeze, I just went in there and started laughing because I know exactly what you're laughing about. That is a Gulf Breeze problem. For sure. You hit it right.
And yet, isn't it also, well, have you met your neighbors recently? You can see it. You, some of your neighbors are great. Some of your neighbors are these people. You know what I mean, Jeremy?
Yeah, it is. It is what it is, and it's another situation where if humans were just as good as animals.
If only we could be good.
Unbelievable. So the weather, you know, I left downtown, beautiful, came up here, and it's just coming north to south. So
yeah.
I'm going to be on for the rest 3 hours.
Yeah, we're good.
We're right here.
Stick around. Everything's fine.
Yeah,
no, everything's fine. We'll just hold it down. Pep talk and go away. It's no big deal. That's great.
Quick thing with Jeremy said real quick, though. He's talked about cursive going away.
Yeah, yeah.
My son's in an eighth grade retreat for a week, and you're supposed to write him a letter. And she had this cursive, and I said, well, I was putting it in a little envelope. I said, well, hopefully his teacher can read this to him because he's not going to have a clue.
That's the grandmother-grandchild gap right there. Every 100%. Grandmother writes in cursive, and none of the grandchildren can read it. Collier, Merrill, Jeremy Evans, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. Please be safe driving in this weather, and please stay out of it if you can.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.